The General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 281 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of May 18th, 2021. This week, Big Mommy steps on you, Fanboy is gonna get butthurt, and we do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. TJ, and I got with me Dom.
Do it again now.
Huh?
Really? You don't even get the Bloodhound Gang reference?
No.
God damn it. Put a ka-chow sound effect in there and get the fuck out of here.
Ka-chow!
Yeah, we'll deafen everyone again like we usually do. So we'll start off like we usually do with what are you playing? Dom, you have been plowing through something here.
Oh, I've been plowing through everything. Obviously, Resident Evil 8 Village came out last week on, I don't even remember what day. One of those days last week. And I have beaten it four times. Maybe. No, I. Yeah, it was Friday. Yep. So I've beaten it four times since Friday. I do need to preface that, though, by saying I haven't played since Sunday. So I beat it four times between Friday and Sunday.
You have an issue.
And I also, like, it's not all I did. Like, you know, I spent 3 hours mowing the grass and, like, you know, did some stuff to my car. And, yeah, I beat it four times.
on different difficulties.
Yes.
As well.
I started on standard. So I beat it on standard. I played, I streamed a couple, maybe 2 hours of it on Friday night. I guess I beat it Saturday.
I think so, yeah.
I must have, because I started it again on Saturday and then I beat it again. I beat it the first time. I played a little bit of the mercenary mode, because after you beat it, you play mercenaries. And I did enough mercenaries mode to unlock the Dragoon machine gun, the assault rifle, and then also unlock infinite ammo for that. And then I went back and did the game on casual, just to see, you know, kind of get more, you know, more familiar with the game and see, you know, how quickly I could beat it. Because the first playthrough took me about 8 hours. And now that I say
about
that,
average right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's pretty much Resident Evil for the most part. Like, your first playthrough is going to take you around 8 hours. I've been hearing 10. And maybe it's just because I'm, you know, more of an experienced Resident Evil player. It's not, I obviously didn't like search the entire map, but I also didn't like plow through the story, watched all the cutscenes. I, you know, did a lot of the side stuff, not all the side stuff, but most of it. And it only took me 8 hours. So, you know, I'm not saying like, oh, I'm good at this game, but like, it just for whatever reason didn't take me as long as it took other people. So the first one was about 8 hours, which now that I think about the fact that I think I started Friday and played 8 hours by Saturday is probably a problem. There's no way it came out on Friday. There's just...
I'm pretty sure it came out on Friday.
Resident Evil 8. Initial release date, April 18th. That's a fucking load of garbage.
No, that's not right.
May 7th. So it came out the Friday before.
Yeah, it came out the Friday before.
Oh, so it came out the Friday before. Okay, yeah, right. So I played it a couple hours.
Because you skipped it the week after because you hadn't played enough of it yet. Because you were going to talk about it last week, but you hadn't played enough yet.
Oh, and is that really what happened?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
I thought I just started playing it last week. I really don't. I don't know. Fucking.
Oh, wait. Did you wait until you got paid?
No.
To buy it?
Because I got paid on the 6th. What the fuck happened? Where did the last week go? There's no way. There's no way that I had played it. But maybe I did. Anyway, so I guess, okay, that makes me feel a little bit better that there's an extra week added to that four times that I've beaten it and played 8 hours the first time.
But still, four times is pretty quick for a game
so
in a week and a half.
Let's just put it this way, though. So the first playthrough took me about 8 hours, 8.5, maybe. The second playthrough I played on casual took me 3 hours and 33 minutes, which is kind of cool. And that I played on, like I said, I played on casual, pretty much used the infinite ammo on the assault rifle the entire game.
Yeah.
So I really blew through it. But I did a lot of the stuff that I missed the first time around. My third playthrough I did on hardcore mode, because I wanted the hand cannon. So that I kind of plowed through as quick as possible, just because like at that point I, for the most part, knew
things pop up, where enemies go, wherever all the items and are to move forward.
Yeah, I kind of knew like what things I needed to progress and what things I could just, you know, skip. There were still some things that I did. There was a little bit of backtracking that I did because there was a couple things that I missed the first two playthroughs that I saw the third time. And I was like, oh, shit, like I want to get this. I want to go do these labyrinth puzzles. So there was a little bit of that. That took me 3 hours and like 13 minutes or something. So I was like, oh, OK, like even though I did plow through it, but I still went back for a lot of stuff. I did it on hardcore a lot quicker than I really anticipated. And then as soon as I beat that, I beat that Sunday morning, I think Sunday morning. And then as soon as I finished it on hardcore, I went back to casual to really plow through it. And I did it in 2 hours and 7 minutes. So all things considered, my second, third, and fourth playthrough pretty much equaled the time of the first playthrough. Yeah. So if you think about it, I really only played twice.
You probably played 20 hours of the game so far.
Probably. Yeah. Between, basically eight hours plus, you know, another 8 or so hours. So let's just round them up to 8.5. So we have really 17 hours worth of that. And then I had Mercenaries mode, which I definitely didn't put 3 hours into. So I definitely haven't even played 20 hours worth of the game.
Yeah, and you've already beat it
four times,
and played Mercenaries mode.
Yes, and I plan on at some point this week, probably, and I'm sure it'll happen before this episode airs, because I'm probably going to do it tomorrow night, is do a hand cannon only run on casual and just, you know, go through and see how quick I can do it, because I kind of want to beat that 2 hour mark right now.
Yeah. Because you were talking about the weapon that shoots at rockets. How do you get that thing?
So that you have to beat it on, I can't remember what the hardcore, so there's basically easy, medium, hard. It's casual, standard, hardcore. And then once you beat the game once, they unlock a fourth difficulty, which is expert mode. I can't remember what it's called. It's got some dumb name, but I'm just going to call it expert. Beat it on
1999
expert,
mode kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So when you beat it on that mode, that's how you unlock the rocket pistol. But it's not just a matter of unlocking it. After you unlock it, then you have to purchase it using the combat points that you get from playing Mercenaries or doing specific goals in the game, like shoot down 5 crows that are flying, kill specific enemies at specific times, kill a certain amount of enemies during the initial Lycan rush, stuff like that. So it's not just straight up beating it. Beating it allows you to purchase it. And then you purchase it, and then you have to purchase infinite ammo for it.
I mean, by the time that you are beating it on like the super hard difficulty, I feel like you would just have points to just spend on that.
And, you know, the super hard difficulty is going to be hard, but I'm also going to be using my hand cannon that kills a lot of the enemies in one shot, mixed with my assault rifle and my grenade launcher, and they all have infinite ammo. So it makes the game exponentially easier because I've, you know, already worked hard enough to, you know, kind of get the things to equip myself to beat that. If I was just playing it like flat out, I don't know if I'd be able to do it. Even the hardcore mode would have been really hard if I was playing that with the limited ammo that the game gives you, because, you know, I upgraded
all
the stuff.
It's a Resident Evil game.
Yeah. And I upgraded all my characters so that I, you know, have more health and die way slower, and still like 2 or 3 hits in hardcore mode kills you. Yeah. So I have to imagine that the expert mode is
one hit, one kill.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
It's probably one of those, like, when you die, you get sent back to like whatever checkpoint or some shit.
Yeah, it's actually not as bad as most Resident Evil games. Most Resident Evils is you're dead. Okay, start at your last save, which can be the initial games, especially where there were limited ink ribbons. So there was limited times you can save. That added to the survival horror aspect of it is because it's like it's not only that you have limited ammo and resources for like health pickups and guns and stuff, you also had limited resources of how many times you could save the game. So like a lot of times you're wandering around and exploring for hours and you basically accomplish nothing, but you did one thing and you're like, I gotta save because if I don't, I'm not gonna remember what the fuck I did. Like, I'm not gonna remember how to get this item or whatever. You know, this isn't like that, where a lot of times you die and they'll just put you back a little bit, which is good sometimes because there's some portions of the game that are one hit kills. And that really fucking annoys me in games. Like, it's a lot like the quick time events that they used to have in like 4 and 5, but they're just not quick time events. They're just like playing the game and you might just die in one shot and then you have to go back. But
yeah,
it doesn't send you back too far. So you can save infinite times and, you know, it doesn't put you all the way back to your last save when you die. So it's, you know, dying doesn't really set you back that much. So, you know, it's not too bad in that aspect. But that is, you know, the most part how many times I've played the game. I haven't even talked about what I think about the game.
That's true. That is true. What do you think about Resident Evil 8? Because what's your opinion on the previous? Because they're intertwined together.
Yeah. I still haven't beaten 7. I liked 7. I didn't initially play 7. I actually didn't start it until I think last year, because I didn't hate 6, but I can sit here and fully say that 6 pretty much destroyed the franchise. Like,
yeah,
just everything. It was not a well-made game. And it was just like, this just isn't good. Like, it's not terrible. It's playable. The graphics are fine. It played well enough. The story was just like, it was just so bad. Like, there was too much going on. It was just like one of those movies. It was like a movie that like, there were too many fucking characters in the movie.
Yeah.
Like Amazing Spider-Man 2, where it was like, do we really need like 4 villains right now? Like, there was just too much shit going on. You basically had 6 main characters in the game, and that was a problem. And they had 3 intertwining stories that all had separate gameplay and separate HUDs, which pissed me off. Like, you played as 3 different characters and each character had their own HUD, and I was just like,
that's
whoever
dumb.
Made that decision is a fucking moron,
should be fired immediately.
So then when I saw 7 and they switched it to first person, I was kind of like, okay, I don't know how on board I am with this, because it just, you know, that's not what I wanted, but the game looked good, so I was like, okay, like, whatever. I might play it later. And it was just one of those games that I never got around to, even though I kept hearing good things about it. So I finally picked it up last year because it was on sale. And I was like, okay, this game is much, much better than I was expecting it to be. Still didn't really love the first person aspect of it, but it was like a total, like, it was weird. It was like kind of a reboot, kind of a sidestep, but also kind of just like a straight up like return to its roots. So it was like very different as a Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't all about, you know, so much about like conspiracies and, you know, laboratories and mansions and like all these crazy zombies and monsters and stuff. It was like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. You know, you're stuck in this like shitty rundown house in Louisiana with this fucked up family who's terrorizing you. And it was strange, but it worked because it was scary. It was like, it just gave you that sense of dread that Resident Evil has been missing since Code Veronica, really, you know, for 17 years or something. It was missing that sense of dread and it finally brought that back. So, didn't care much for Ethan. He was kind of just like, whatever. Still don't love him, you know, but at the same time, like, I have no problem with them creating a new character and having you play as a new character, because like how many times are you going to play as Chris? How many times are you going to play as Jill? How many times are you going to play as Leon? I love all those characters, but like, I totally understand being like, yo, we need somebody new. Like, let's stop just using the same characters. So I have to, I was actually playing Seven a little like about an hour ago. So
just to
like,
see.
Just to like, I just booted it up for the first time in almost a year at this point. I haven't played it since June of last year. Cause you know, I moved and everything. So it was like, didn't really get a chance to play games for a bit. And you know, progressed a little bit, and you know, it's still fun. So I definitely approve of Seven, and I need to go back and like really, really play Seven so I can like kind of complete. Cause I've pretty much played every other Resident Evil game. There's a couple offshoots and stuff that I haven't.
Stragglers.
Yeah. The main franchise I've played all of, so totally fine with Seven. Like it, you know, recommend playing it, especially if you can get it in a good deal, which right now you can, cause you can buy, 8 and 7 packaged together for $80.
That's not bad.
No, so it's basically $20. Plus you get the Resident Evil 8 Trauma Pack, which is $13, which from what I hear is horrendous and not worth any money at all, because it gives you one gun, the Samurai Edge, and it is as powerful as the base handgun after the base handgun is upgraded once.
Ooh.
So basically within an hour of playing the game, you have a gun that's the same as a Samurai Edge that you paid $13 for. So
yeah, no thanks.
Don't buy the Trauma Pack. I didn't, and I'm glad that I didn't.
Yeah, you're pretty much buying it for the cosmetic, and $13 for a cosmetic seems
too much.
Yeah,
too much.
Aggressive.
Yep, I think eventually they'll just make it free. So as far as Resident Evil 8 goes, it is more of, it is a very big mixture of 4 and 7. It has a lot of the more horror aspects of Seven, with the creepiness, the atmosphere, the general direction, and like
the
kind
jugs.
Of flow and everything of Four and Jugs. Yes, obviously the Jugs. So it's a very good mix of the two. I will just start off by saying that I don't think that it is possible for any other game to beat this for Game of the Year for me.
Ooh, slapping it down now.
This is the best game of 2021. There is a reason that I have beaten it 4 times in less than in a week.
So you do not think there's any other game that could come out in 2021.
Unless a game that I don't think is going to come out comes out. And
even then, which game are you talking about? Are you talking about a specific game or just
No. There could be a game where I'm just like, oh shit, that came out.
But Halo Infinite.
Yep. Halo Infinite, in my opinion, will be at best a good game. I don't think it's going to even rise to the level of great, and it sure as hell is not going to be anything revolutionary, or it's not going to be a console seller, and it's just not going to be. It's just not.
Horizon Forbidden West.
I'm not gonna get a chance to play it, but I will say that I don't think.
Right, it's PlayStation only, right?
I don't think I would enjoy it as much as I enjoy this.
Oh boy, Biomutant's coming out. God of War, Ragnarok is slated for this year,
and God of War again won't be able to play it. Agree that God of War will be a great game.
All right.
Don't think it will be as good as this. To me. There's definitely going to be somebody else that disagrees.
Mario Golf?
Mario Golf is going to be so much goddamn fun.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Stray, the cat game, is supposed to apparently come out this year.
I don't think it is.
I don't think so either.
2021 doesn't really have a huge lineup of blockbuster games.
More Heroes 3?
Yeah, that's going to be awesome too. But I still stand, like, maybe I'll be surprised, but I expect at the end of this year when we do our end of year recap, I fully expect me to say Resident Evil 8 is the best game that I've played this year.
Yeah.
I
don't think anyone would be shocked.
Yeah. I think that everything about it is quality. The writing is good, the voice acting is good, the story is as good as it's going to be. Like, it's difficult to say because, like, we are far past the point of where Resident Evil started at.
Yeah, just a bit.
You can't go back there anymore. You have to do more and more stuff. Mm-hmm. But it still is enough to tie into it. It's just like there's only so much after what at this point is 25 games, I think. I think there's been 25 games in the Resident Evil franchise altogether.
That's a lot.
Yeah, there's only so much you can write about and make it coherent and still somehow tie it into the original events. And yeah. I think that they did as best as they possibly could with it. The graphics are fucking great, especially with ray tracing on. It looks awesome. The gameplay is good. It is, you know, it's got the same style and everything of 7, but there is some updates and tweaks and stuff added on. I don't want to get too spoilery with it. But, you know, it does everything that Resident Evil 4 did, and then it does different stuff. And I think the different stuff is where it really shines, because while 7 was different, you had basically one location and you were like stuck in this house. This has more of an open-ish world where you are free to explore and encourages exploration, but also still kind of points you in the right direction, which is, I think, a perfect balance of how they have that.
Yeah.
But there's like 6 main sections of the game, but there's 4 like main sections of the game. There is what everybody knows in Big Mama Lady Dimitrescu, I'm not Lady even going to get into the pronunciation of her name. I agree it's wrong, but that is her name, is Dimitrescu. There's her entire castle, which has very much like Resident Evil feeling to it, where it's like you're in his mansion and like there's all these secret areas and like stuff. Then there is the second area with Donna, I think it's Beneviento, which is the best Silent Hill game I've ever played.
Including PT.
Including PT. It very much gave me PT vibes. That whole part. Yeah, I was just like this is like it's interesting, like the castle is like survival horror because you have limited resources. You're still early in the game. The second area is psychological horror, and you have no weapons and you are not in combat. It's puzzle based and it's creepy and supernatural, and it's like something that you wouldn't expect, but it fits in so well. The third area in the swamp is miscellaneous is what I would call it. You know, it's kind of like, I don't want to say the low point of the game, but there's always a game where it's like this is the least good of the areas, and it's usually a swamp or a water level. And that's no exception here. It's the same thing.
We're looking at you, Zelda.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with Resident Evil 4. The part where you're sitting in the boat throwing spears at the giant fish is probably the least enjoyable section of the game, but it's still part of the game, and it still makes the game what it is, and it still fits in with the story. So that that's just a straight up like, you know, kind of puzzle area. And that's where the one hit deaths comes in. So I guess that'll replace your quick time events. And then the final area is more of an endurance and a crazy action sequence for the most part. So like you really have like these 4 different breakups. And then in between that is different areas with, I mean, the main bad guys in the game are lichens. Like you start with zombies, 4 had, they were still kind of zombies, but they were more just like infected mutants. Humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like mutants. And I don't remember what 6 had. 7 didn't really have like enemies. It was pretty much like, it seemed like it was all boss fights, and then the rest was bugs, I guess. And this, you know, has lichens, which is different. You know, it's not really often that you have, you know, werewolves that you're fighting, especially if it can be tied in with zombies from 25 years ago. So yeah. it's such a well-designed game that I find it impossible to dislike it. Like the atmosphere is great. The differences in where you go are amazing, and the game is just so much fun that, like, I struggle. I know that there's people out there that hate it. I've seen, you know,
just
people.
Nuts.
There's just some times where it's like, can't you just admit that this game is good? Like, maybe it's not your cup of tea, but like saying that this game sucks and that you hate it is like a little extreme.
It'd be like me saying I hate it because I don't like
scary stuff.
Games.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't like scary shit. So like, that'd be so fucking dumb.
Yep. And it's, you know, there are people that hate it, but I find that I saw IGN's review of an 8 out of 10 and I was like, cool. Like, that's what I expect, you know, a good game. And, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to. And fuck, 8 out of 10 to me is way undershooting it. I don't know if I'd give it a perfect 10.
There's some plot holes and weird things that are in there that aren't great, but
yes, there are. And I challenge you to look at any Resident Evil game and not say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Resident
well,
Evil
that's
is
why
a,
it shouldn't be a perfect 10.
Yeah. Resident Evil is a series filled with convenience, and strangely poorly designed puzzles where it's like, realistically, why the fuck would this person do that to themselves? Like, why would they put a weapon that kills them 2 rooms away from where they are hiding?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that type of stuff. And every Resident Evil game has that. So this is fully, fully no exception. And I know what you're referring to. And as soon as I played that section, I was like, man, everyone's gonna be pissed about this. I wasn't, because I enjoyed the section, but I sat there and said every quote unquote hardcore Resident Evil fan is going to be bitching about this on Twitter tomorrow.
Because I didn't play the game, I watched like a YouTube of the cutscenes and stuff, and I saw that part and I was like, man, isn't that convenient? I was
exactly.
Like, that's dumb. But I mean, it's no dumber than anything else in any other video games. So
exactly.
I was like, it's all right. I'll let it slide.
So, I mean, I've already wasted a half an hour talking about how great this fucking game is. But
well, it is like your series.
Right. Like this and Zelda are the two series that I'm going to always play.
Yeah.
So like, you know, yeah, I was going to waste a half an hour talking about how much I loved it. Unless I didn't, then I'd just be like, it's fine.
Talking about series that we love, I picked up Mass Effect Legendary Edition the second it came out. The second it was announced, I pre-ordered it. And I got the Legendary Cash, which I don't want to say how much that was. But I'm going to get that goddamn helmet. It's going to be great.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. I'm on like the second wave. I haven't even gotten a notice it's shipped yet. So
Jesus.
I probably won't see that till Christmas, probably.
Probably.
But, hey,
well, it'll be a
me.
Good Christmas present to yourself.
All right. Yep. That's what usually happens. But I picked up Mass Effect Legendary Edition. They've kind of given everything like almost an HD remake to a degree.
Yep.
Even though 3, I think, was in HD and 2 was as well.
They were on HD, I think.
Yeah, I think the first one was the only one that might have not been, but anyway, they redid pretty much everything from the ground up, just try to make the game look good in 2021, and it is, I've gotten the first game done, and I just started the second Mass Effect game, which is great that they're all kind of put together, they're all in a launcher together.
That's good. Now, from what I heard, they make you play the first game first.
You don't have to. I don't.
Oh, I heard that you had to, and I was like, that doesn't sound right.
I don't think so. I mean, they give you in Mass Effect 2, so that if you didn't ever play 1, you just wanted to play 2, they give you like almost a comic book thing that you can make your choices.
Okay.
To just kind of go through the choices of the first game that were major plot points.
Right.
And you kind of choose what happened, and then you go on to play 2.
If you played 1, do you still have to do that?
No, you can just skip it.
Okay, cool.
You can do it. I mean, it's really weird to, because I played when these came out. So it's really weird to just like because I watched the comic just because I've never seen it before, and it's really weird to go just from one straight to two and be like, oh, I can just skip all this because I've already heard
I didn't know if it like looked at your save data and imported all your choices or if...
it does import all your choices.
Good.
Because I did watch the comic. Yeah, that's the cool thing about Mass Effect, the series, is you can import your character from the previous games. So your character looks exactly like your previous one, just kind of more updated. And then also you get more experience and you get more, you pretty much get more stuff if you import your character from a previous game.
Mm-hmm.
So currently working on two. I'll get to that eventually, but it's a lot of fun. It's exactly how I remember. It's not as glitchy as it was.
That's good, because that was something I was nervous about, was that they were just not gonna fix the glitches, because there were a lot at some in the first one, especially.
I think I ran into one that I distinctly remember being in the first game when I played it originally, and I'm pretty sure it's still here. It's on when you go to the moon and you try to get into a base, and it kind of just like doesn't happen and then locks out the A button, so you can't click on anything.
What?
Yeah, it's I'm pretty sure it was from the original game. And yeah, they never fixed
that's
it.
That's crazy.
It's fun. It's for me, it's funny. Just be like, oh, I remember hitting that glitch last time.
See, and there's some things like that where I'm never sure if they just forgot to fix it or if they left it in because it was funny. And like,
yeah,
I generally just prefer to think of glitches as, unless it's game breaking, of course. But like, if there's something just like wild, I'm like, they might have just left it in because if I was a game developer, like I might purposely program stupid shit in the game that seems like a glitch just because it's funny to me.
It was a big glitch back in the day, I remember. And I remember hitting it as well, which was kind of funny. But playing through the first game, there was definitely weird, because I'm playing on a controller like I did in the original games because I played on Xbox. I think if you played on PC, you would have more selections and be able to select your powers more, but the first game has really just bad button layout. Like things are hidden within menus, and to do powers you have to kind of go in menus and then use them and stuff.
Was the first one on PC originally, or was it only Xbox?
So I think it was just the consoles.
So like, you would think that it would have a good button layout because it was designed for button layout.
I think they didn't know because it was the first game, and I don't think they knew what they were really doing exactly. So that's why the button layouts are weird. Two made it better. Three was pretty perfect. They did the button layouts really well. But for PC, you can kind of, you have so many more buttons that you can just kind of assign. I don't like using mouse and keyboard, so I'm just using controller. It runs really smooth. I've had no real hiccups with it, but it's exactly how I remember. There's stuff you can like skip that you wouldn't used to be because it would be loading screens.
Right.
So like when you got into an elevator, it would, you know, it would play something over the radio to kind of like hide the fact that it's loading the next level.
Uh-huh.
Well, this, you can just hit A and you can just skip it because...
Oh, cool. Because you're on solid state drive, so it's like...
Yeah, you're on a solid state drive. You're on stuff that's 10 times better than the original 360, so... But yeah, you can skip certain stuff. Things just move quicker, just smoother.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it. It looks good. Like, you know, no, it doesn't look like a game that was made in 2021, but like, it looks good.
It looks a lot better than if you just booted up Mass Effect 1 and played it now. It's pretty awful.
And it definitely looks a lot better than... Like, you can tell that it's more of a remake and less of a remaster because, like, it definitely looks more than just, like, slapping better textures on.
Yeah.
There are some of the character models that are a little iffy,
there's still stuff that's weird. The running is really awkward. Like, you can tell that they didn't rebuild any of the skeletons or anything like that because your running just looks like... You know, your arms kind of move side to side kind of thing. And some facial features are weird. Some of the eye movements can be weird as well.
Mm, the mouth movements.
The mouth movements aren't great. I think they use how they did audio in Andromeda and brought it into these remakes, which I don't like because I didn't like Andromeda's how they did audio cues
you
from people.
You could just stop it. I didn't like Andromeda.
I didn't like Andromeda. But I don't like how they did voices in Andromeda. It doesn't feel like it's coming from the character. It just feels like it's coming from all around you.
Right.
Like just the space around you.
Yep.
So that I'm not a fan of that they did, but everything else just seems like the old game with nice new stuff, which I'm excited to keep playing.
Yeah, and what I'm hoping for is that they take this and be like, okay, this is what people want, and let's give them more of
what
they want.
That's what, when they announced Legendary Edition, they also announced 4 was coming out.
Yeah.
Or they were working on 4, because they kind of realized that they goofed with Andromeda.
Which is good, because a lot of times it takes more than one to realize that they're fucking up. Like, it took Assassin's Creed a while of making mediocre games before they were just like, okay, like, we're not making shit that people want. And Mortal Kombat did the same thing. They had like 4 consecutive games where it was just like, dude, this isn't good. Like, make it good until they made it good again.
I think because Andromeda was hyped so much and then it just failed so badly that they were just like, ooh, boogie. And I think also because it's BioWare, Anthem also failed so badly. So they were like, oh, we got to go back to like something we know works.
Yeah. And like, so get people excited for us as a company again.
Yeah. So let's just make the Legendary Edition and go for it, because that's going to make us money.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It'll make them enough money to actually make 4.
Yeah. I'm super excited for 4. I was fucking blasted away that they were going to do that. It looks like it's going to be awesome, and I can't wait to continue Shepard's story, because there's a lot of cliffhangers that were left over. And I know that people, including me, were not happy with the ending of 3. So to see past that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Mass Effect fan, pick it up. If you've never played Mass Effect, the series before, pick it up.
Yeah, I need to play it, because I did play some of the first one. Like, it was just a game that, like, I always wanted to play it. And I just, you know, when it came out, I was broke. I was in college. So, like, I really had to pick my games. And unfortunately, that was a game that I didn't pick. And I bought fucking Shadowrun on the 360 instead, that pile of shit. So, like, I'm interested.
You chose
and I played
poorly.
Like, you know, a couple hours of the first one a couple years ago. And I was just like, damn, the controls are clunky now.
Yeah, the controls are still clunky.
Yeah. And, like, I know that I just need to get through it to get to the good stuff.
I think the storyline is fantastic. It's really great, and it just keeps building up and up and up, and it's so good. That's why I love this series. It the storyline's fantastic, the game's fantastic. I'm just so in love with this series, and I cannot wait for 4.
Yeah, and like, the fact that in all likelihood they're going to make it great is very good for you.
Yeah, they've goofed with the last few games, so hopefully they'll just go like, we need to get back to basics here.
Yeah.
And they already have 3 previous games to build off of, so
Hopefully they'll just, like, I don't know if they used a new engine or anything for the Legendary Edition, but like, they could just, you know, kind of build off that engine and
I mean, Andromeda still looks good, even now. It's been a few years since it came out. But I mean, they could just build on top of that.
Right.
Just hopefully don't make the same mistakes.
And have the same glitches.
Yeah, that would be fantastic too. But, well, I'm looking at you, Bethesda.
Yeah.
it's not going to happen. If you've never played it before, I definitely recommend picking it up. It's going to be some time, because 3 games you have to plow through. But it's just a beautiful world, or a galaxy, universe. All of them. You can definitely tell they redid all like the backdrops. So like, if you're on a planet and look up, you can see like the planets and stuff, and they look a lot better than they used to.
That's good.
And there's just so much more detail with the surrounding areas. So I'm excited to keep playing. I'm on 2 now, and 2 is like the fan favorite.
Yeah.
So
I know 3 is your favorite, right?
3 is my favorite until a point. And then it is the worst game in the world. But I think it's just the most polished. The storyline's great, and it's kind of the finishing up of everything. So, but 2 is a lot of fun and has really in-depth characters, and it's just really great. And I cannot wait to keep playing. So if you've ever played a Mass Effect, pick it up. If you've not played one, pick it up. if you're a fan of RPGs with choices, pick it up. Just pick it up, goddammit.
Yeah.
It is $60, but you're getting three games remastered, so.
Right. And three good games, too. That's the thing. Yeah, you're not rolling the dice and buying, like, you know, Shadowrun on the 360, like me, a fucking idiot.
Man, you got burned by Shadowrun, didn't
Dude,
you?
to this day, that and probably Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City are the two worst. Oh, and X-Men Destiny. Those are the three worst games I've ever bought.
I will agree with you, X-Men Destiny.
What a fucking
rented
disaster.
That from Blockbuster. And was
That's why Blockbuster went
why
out of business.
Hurt. Because of X-Men Destiny.
Yes.
I will still say that Force Unleashed 2 is the worst game ever made.
Shit.
It was horrible, but yeah, go check out Mass Effect 2. Go check out, we have really good games today. Just because Resident Evil 8.
I don't think we've ever had a game where both of us were like, we played our game of the year this week.
Yeah, we're good. So go check those out. Moving on to some nerd news. Dom, you got some nerd news.
All right, let's take you back about 2 minutes when you mentioned Bethesda and their shitty glitches. We all know that Bethesda was purchased by Microsoft and some games might be exclusive, but it has been semi-confirmed that Starfield, which is Bethesda's newest IP in 25 years, is going to be exclusive to Xbox and PC. And GamesBeat is the one who is reporting it, and Jeff Grubb, who I believe works for GamesBeat, tweeted, Starfield is exclusive to Xbox and PC, period.
Yeah.
And then he followed that up with a tweet saying, like, go write the story. Like, that is it. This is me confirming it. Go write the story that this is exclusive. So Starfield, which was revealed at E3 in 2018, so it's been just about 3 years, and we have seen nothing.
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 I didn't even know it was a first-person science fiction role-playing adventure.
I didn't either. I mean, it's That's Bethesda, it so I this. Assumed that it was.
I had no idea. I thought it was like a ship-flying game or some shit, because all you've seen is like a picture of a planet in outer space, and like that's fucking it.
But it's Bethesda, so I assumed it was... I assume it's going to be Fallout in space.
Yeah.
Or probably. Skyrim in space. Like that. So they make one game.
Outworld.
Correct. That's... Yeah. It's going to be Outworld. Or Outer Worlds.
Or Outer Worlds. Which one was it? I can't remember.
But this is... I don't know. This is kind of big.
Yeah,
you know, Bethesda is.
I'm not shocked.
Me either,
in the slightest, because it makes sense. Because the other titles that they have working are Fallout and Skyrim, or Elder Scrolls. So like, they're not dumb enough to cut those out of
exactly like
all the PlayStation monies.
And Deathloop was already actually a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah.
So I think that. Is now a timed exclusive. So I think the first year is going to be only on PS5, and then they'll bring it over to Xbox and PC afterwards. But this is, you know, kind of what I expected, that they were going to start off Starfield as a Microsoft exclusive. I will also say that I think it is going to end up being a timed exclusive. So I do believe that either 1 or 2 years after release, it will be available on PlayStation.
I wouldn't doubt it, since Microsoft's pretty open with doing time exclusives or hand exclusives, where PlayStation is not.
Yeah, like Microsoft puts their first party developed games on Nintendo all the time. Like Ori just came out on Switch. Minecraft Dungeons came out on Switch the same time it launched on everything else. Like. Mm-hmm. Microsoft is very willing to basically, they're under the philosophy of like, let's let everybody play our games. So I think Starfield will eventually, you know, within the next couple of years, be on PlayStation. I'm excited to see if it actually comes out this year.
Releases.
Which I do think might be a possibility.
I could
foresee them. I mean, look what they did with Fallout 4. Like, it was E3, and then they were like, Fallout 4, and everyone's like, holy shit. And they were like, available October, and everyone's like, holy shit.
Yeah, everyone shit themselves.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that with this. You know, the first thing we see from Starfield, the first, like, actual thing we see, and then they're just like, okay, they're going to show it, you know, in June or July, and it comes out in November. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but...
Makes sense for the Christmas rush.
yeah, and we'll see what they do. But, you know, I think it's, you know, kind of big news that they're releasing something that could be, you know, a brand new franchise that they helm, and it's going to be, you know, the first
Xbox
party
PC exclusive. Yeah.
So it bodes well for Microsoft of getting those exclusive titles.
Mm. Well, I'll probably buy it.
Oh, I'm definitely going to buy it. Oh, it's going to be free. I mean, it's going to be on Game Pass. I don't have to fucking buy it.
Well, oh, shit. It's probably going to be a fucking Xbox Game Pass thing and not a PC Game Pass thing.
No, because it's first party developed. There's almost nothing. There is nothing that's first party developed that's only on Xbox.
God damn it.
The new things, I mean.
Yeah. I'm still pissed that like none of the sports games are on PC.
Yeah, and you had to pay for Outriders.
Yeah, pay for Outriders.
That's because Microsoft Studios didn't do any of those.
Yeah.
The sports games are all, I mean, the show is fucking, is Sony. PlayStation made that. You know, the other things are all EA or 2K, and then Outriders is Square Enix. So that just happened to be what they ended up with. But this is, you know, Microsoft owned and developed, so it will be on PC also.
I'm hoping.
On Game Pass.
Because I'll buy it, or I'll play it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely going to play it. I mean,
yeah.
I don't like Fallout that much.
I do. Fallout 76 aside.
Yeah. I do enjoy Skyrim a little bit. I got into it way too late, but, you know, playing a new one is definitely something that I'm
especially
interested in.
Especially since a new title, and it could be showing, like, the direction the company's going.
Exactly. I also like space a lot more than I like medieval times and
post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, and, you know, fucking wasteland shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm hopeful. Yep. I got some news. Discovery Channel, or just Discovery, and, well, AT&T announced a deal Monday. They will combine its content units, WarnerMedia, with Discovery. So these two are being pushed together in a merger. They did this deal at $43 billion.
That's fucking wild.
Which is crazy. Which includes cash debt and WarnerMedia's retention of certain debts. And Discovery shareholders will own 29% of a new company that's going to be made, which is going to be called WarnerMedia. This includes CNN, I think it's Turner Sports, WB, TBS, True TV, Cartoon Network, TNT, and HBO Max is also in this deal. And then Discovery owns, you know, TLC, Food Network, HGTV, all those things. So these will be all combined together for WarnerMedia. $43 billion. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't understand it because, like,
I guess HBO is worth it because of Game of Thrones and shit.
Yeah, but wasn't HBO part of WarnerMedia? So AT&T already owns HBO.
Yes, but it's Discovery. I think it's Discovery buying
it. AT&T is basically purchasing Discovery and merging it with HBO, is what it sounds like.
They're pretty much merging WarnerMedia and Discovery together.
Yeah. I don't know what label it's going to be under. I don't think that's been decided yet, but, like, you know, it's they already owned WarnerMedia, so I don't think they own Discovery yet. So I think they purchased Discovery to merge it or whatever they're doing. It's very strange because, like, if you look at, like, the list of, like, Discovery, like, what do they have to offer? Like, you have Discovery Channel, TLC.
TLC, Food Network, which is huge, HGTV, Animal Planet, Discovery Channel, OWN. Which is, I think,
Oprah's network. Yeah.
And then Discovery Plus.
Yeah. And they also have the Science Channel and Investigation Discovery and a couple others.
Yeah.
It's weird because so Discovery Plus is like the Discovery streaming service that I didn't know existed until recently.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I didn't either until a few minutes ago when I read this article.
And I can't imagine many people paying for Discovery Plus. However, if they took all that stuff and moved it to HBO, I think it would actually get some viewership because, like, I'm definitely not above watching, you know, Discovery Channel documentaries and Animal Planet stuff, especially Investigation Discovery stuff, like all their like cold case files and forensic stuff. Like, it's all really cool, but I wouldn't pay a monthly fee to watch that shit. Like,
I mean, that's just not where I want to pay. Just for Food Network and HGTV.
I wouldn't do that either. Like, that stuff's cool and all, but I wouldn't pay.
I'd be on the fence, but it's more stuff just to put on the background, not like.
Exactly. And I'm not going to pay for background noise. However, if you put all that shit on HBO Max, which I'm already paying for, I'll probably watch it. Like, I'll fucking watch Chopped. I'll watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I'll watch Investigation Discovery stuff because it's on
you
HBO Max. I'm already paying for
Diners,
it.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives when you go to a hotel and there's nothing else on.
No.
You, and you're going to sleep.
You should go to my parents' house where it's like always on. Like,
God damn it.
I'll watch that stuff. And especially, so it's, I think it's going to increase viewership if that's what the plan is to put that stuff on HBO Max. Is that the plan? Don't know. I don't think anybody knows at this point. But I hope that they merge it to a point where I'm sick of so many streaming services. Like, there's too many now. And
yeah, I'm like going through like my bills and going like, all right, what streaming services I signed up for, because I'm starting to lose track here.
Like Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Peacock, HBO Max. Those are like the ones that I actively watch too.
Yeah.
I don't have Verve anymore.
And then any gaming stuff as well.
Yeah, like Twitch and shit, you mean?
Like Twitch or Xbox Game Pass or any of those.
Oh, right, yeah. You have Game PlayStations. Pass. Yep, PlayStation Network. I don't pay for PS Now anymore. Yeah, you have Twitch Pro or whatever. You also have Amazon Prime. Like,
yep.
A lot of money goes towards those things. And yes, they've been very helpful throughout the pandemic, especially, but like
they're getting, there's too many now and we're flooding the market here.
It's getting to the point of, this is why we stopped paying for cable, is because this is what we didn't want.
We don't want to pay hundreds of dollars a month.
Yep.
To and then there's, get a ton of stuff that we only want to watch one thing of.
Yeah. And like, I'm not going to pay for CBS All Access. And there's just like so many, everybody else has one too. So like, stop. Stop, man.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. So,
the more that they merge them, this is going to be an interesting deal. And like, obviously I can't really say how I feel about it because I don't really know like what, why or what it's going to lead to, what it entails. Like,
I would like them to just dissolve WB. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So we don't have to deal with them anymore.
Like, find the Warner Brothers themselves and kill them.
Fucking got them. But whoa. Yeah, this will be interesting to see what comes out of this. Let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash. We'll be right back. And we're back. A little geek on, geek off. I got some geek on, geek off. So trying to find a graphics card right now is impossible.
Yep.
Especially
there's
the
a reason
ones.
Why I pretty much don't play my PC anymore. And I'm just like, I'm just going to play everything on Xbox now because I have one and I can't find a graphics card.
Yeah. So the RTX 3080s, 3070s, and 3060 Ti graphics cards have been impossible to find any graphics card, really, because in between scalpers and crypto miners, it's just been impossible for gamers to find it. NVIDIA's kind of heard these complaints, and what they're going to do is reduce the ETH hash rate on the new line of graphics cards that they're producing. It'll be the same graphics cards, just they're producing the next ones that they're producing in the shops are going to be with these reduced ETH hash rates, which apparently is what crypto miners use.
Okay.
Like, that's what they look for to mine faster. So they reduced this, and apparently it's not going to affect gamers at all, but just the crypto miners. And they're hoping this cuts down crypto miners but just buying these constantly.
Now, I heard that they were also, I think it was NVIDIA, but it could have been somebody else, was considering making a line of graphics cards aimed at crypto miners.
I wouldn't
so that they would buy those instead of, you know, buying shit that I want.
So this is also coming after that they had already announced they were doing this back in February, I think. But apparently they released a beta driver that allowed crypto miners to kind of get around that protection. So they goofed. So, but now they are definitely going to put a head built into the thing. It's into the graphics card itself that it'll have this reduced hash rate.
Yeah. And
which,
like,
won't affect us as gamers, but hopefully will cut down crypto miners, because you see it all the time. I see it all the time. I'll see it on TikTok once in a while. It's like, oh, how I built my crypto miner PC. And it's like,
yeah,
you're a fucking asshole.
You see these freaking basically server farms just like out somewhere where there's just like hundreds of these graphics cards all daisy chained together, just mining crypto all the time.
And they're like, well, it pays like four times as much as the electricity that I'm using.
No,
and
it doesn't.
Like, well,
they fucking like. There's some crypto miners that like use an entire country's worth of electricity every year.
Yeah. And it's just like, even if you're making that much money, why do you have to be an asshole about it?
Yeah.
Like, people want to use this for gaming and enjoyment, and you're just using it to mine for money.
Yep.
And because now you don't want a job.
Yeah. And I heard something about the PS5. I don't remember that there were, it's like this same kind of thing where I think Sony is trying to target scalpers and bots and try and prevent them from purchasing all the consoles. So it's like, well, you know, the PlayStation 5 might become more available, which would be awesome. But like, I don't know how that's going to happen. And I also don't know why they would put any money into it, because like in the end, they're making boatloads of money because like I read somewhere where, like, you know, more PS5s have been sold in this first 6 months or whatever that it's been released than PS4s were sold. And it was funny because like that was like the tweet or whatever, and everyone was just like, how? No one fucking has one. Like, you can't get one. How have more been sold? And it was just because these people, these scalpers have bought like hundreds of them. And I've seen pictures of people in their houses where they just have like stacks and stacks of PS5s that they're selling for, you know,
twice
double
as
the
much.
Price.
Yeah. Well, I think NVIDIA is playing the game of for longevity, where they know at some point crypto miners are going to dive out. It'll become unpopular or something, but they know gamers will always need video cards. They will always need to do that. So I think they're playing the long game of, if we keep gamers happy, they will stick with us.
Yep.
I think that's why they're doing this.
Yeah. I think the smartest thing that they did was price that 3060 at $400.
Yeah.
Because $400 per graphics card cycle is not a huge buy-in price.
No,
it's affordable to the point where if you can afford a new console every console generation, you can afford a graphics card every graphics card generation. The $800, $900, $1,000, $1,100, $1,200 for the previous ones for the 2080s and like even the 1080 used to be like $1,000. The Titans are $1,200. Like,
yeah, I
those
think
things
also
price you out of buying it.
I think they also, it was the first craze of cryptocurrency. So I think they grabbed onto that real quick and then realized, oh, if we piss off gamers, they'll stop using us altogether. And in the long run, we'll not have money to sustain ourselves.
Because in the end, like,
it doesn't even matter.
Yes. Goddamn right. Like, if you can't get a graphics card, and you're forced to play with, you know, I have my, I think I have a 1070 or something.
Yeah.
you know, if I couldn't ever get a new graphics card and it was like, well, just play with your 1070 forever because that's all you can get. No, I'm just going to go back to console gaming. And I think that's what they're worried about is like,
yeah,
if they don't start making improvements where graphics cards are more affordable and more available, then they're just going to start losing people because it's going to get to the point where it's like PC Master Race doesn't exist anymore because like it was always like the joke of like, yeah, it was always a joke of like, I could just build a PC better than your console. And I was like, yeah, but you're spending twice to three times as much money, but let's ignore that. And now it's going to be like, you can't even build a PC that's better than my console because you can't fucking get the parts.
And the thing is, I'm also wondering is what's the, there's going to be a lot of scams, I think, after these new cards come out because people will be like, oh, you know, there'll be bullshit of like, oh, with a low hash rate, you'll lose like a percentage of frame rate.
Yep.
And people will try to sell the new ones as the old ones and it'll be like a bidding war of craziness. So I think this might hurt a little bit, but I think this will hopefully get rid of some of the scalpers and the
That's what I'm hoping for, because like I agree that like, oh, you know, the regular one can get you 120 frames per second, and this one only gets you 118 frames per second, and someone's going to be like, that's fucking bullshit, like, you know.
Apparently, this isn't supposed to affect anything at all unless you are doing cryptocurrency mining. It's probably going to affect something, but...
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's going to affect something, and eventually someone's going to find out what it affects, and... Even if it's not a noticeable in and like it is a technically measurable effect, but not a practically measurable effect, people are going to flip a shit about it.
Yep.
Like I remember when the Xbox One X was coming out and, you know, they were like, this is going to basically play everything. It's going to play everything at 60 frames per second. And people were like freaking out and being like, they better have. An FPS counter on the console so I can monitor that, because if it dips below 60 frames per second, I'm returning it. And I was just like, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Like, we have gone too far. Please shut up and play a video game.
Yeah. And also the lack of graphics cards are from the shortage of semiconductors
it's
as well.
Kind of a combination. The same thing with the consoles. Like, they can't produce the consoles. And then the ones that they can produce are getting scalped up, and it's just like a really, really bad time. So like, I feel very lucky to have gotten my Xbox and gotten it with the Xbox All Access like I wanted to. So I pay monthly. And on top of that, I'm very lucky that I've gotten that, so I can fucking play the game. Like if I was playing Resident Evil 8 on my old Xbox, I definitely would have loved the game, but like, having the ray tracing everything that it has on now, I'm like, God,
the extra damn. Step kind of thing.
Like, this is my experience right here.
Yeah, I'm hopefully this is going to help the issues that are current. I mean, a lot of it is companies that are selling these. Their sites suck and don't stop scammers from being able to buy these with bots.
Yep.
So Walmart, Amazon, Target, all those.
Best Buy.
Yeah, yep, Newegg. And they don't really care because they're being bought up, so they're getting their share.
Yep.
But I know NVIDIA, it just seems like they're doing this for their longevity, which works for me because...
Any company that takes proactive measures to make sure that they continue to be a successful company in the future is a company that I'm more willing to buy from.
Yeah, this is definitely a good PR move, too.
Yeah,
like, I would definitely... think about getting a NVIDIA card now because, well, whenever in 2 years when they're fucking available.
Right. But like, you know, companies that are just like, I don't give a shit about next year. Like my bottom line profit for this quarter is the only thing I'm concerned about, and I'll do anything to increase that. That's the type of stuff that I don't like. It's like, you don't care about the consumer. You literally only care about this. If you're planning on being if you're making pro-consumer moves to increase the chances of you being a viable business 10 years from now, that's the company that I want to buy from because I trust them more to put out. Right. I trust them more to put out quality products and support them.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to buy a video card and the company go out of business in 6 months and then my card breaks and I can't do anything about it. And it's like, well, now I just got to go buy a new video card.
Yep. I'm looking to probably... build a new one in another year or two. So hopefully there'll be video cards.
Yeah.
Available. And now with this, I would definitely look more into NVIDIA just because I think this is a cool move for them to be like, we're tired of these assholes too. Let's get them.
Yeah. I have NVIDIA now. I used to have ATI back in the day. Because I felt like ATI was, it just was a little bit more seamless. NVIDIA always seemed like slower and bulkier and more expensive. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, now we're at that point again where it's like, they're basically the same thing. Yeah. You're getting the same.
It's the Intel AMD thing that used to be big fanboys between the two. And now it's not really a difference between the two.
I used to preferential
than anything else.
I used to go AMD, and I'll tell you, it was solely because of the fans, because the Intel fans were so much more difficult to snap onto the motherboard because you had to like push these pins through the holes and screw it with a screwdriver so the plastic pins expanded. And then if you unscrewed it too quickly, the plastic would break and you couldn't get the fan back on. Whereas everything from AMD just had the fucking, you just put it on and closed the hinge and it attached itself. And I was like, I never want an NVIDIA fan again. And now, you know, they're both just as easy. So it makes no difference.
Yeah. They've kind of all, I mean, we definitely started in the early days of PC gaming as well, where we had to deal with all the problems they were trying to figure out.
Yep.
But I mean, at this point, all the technology is pretty similar.
Yep.
Some people say AMD is better. Some people say Intel's better. I go Intel because I know I never learned how the speeds work in AMDs, like the numbers and everything. So I just went Intel because I'm dumb.
Right.
So I might go that route next one. I don't know yet, but it's going to be a bit because I need a graphics card for a PC. And
yeah. And like, I'm just going to go with whatever has a better deal at that time, whether it's an AMD Ryzen or an i7, i9, whatever has a better package for me to purchase. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll purchase.
I'll probably go things that are more compatible with each other, especially since I do a lot of RGB stuff.
Right.
I have a lot of things from different companies that they all use different programs.
Yep. It sounds like a terrible idea.
So I goofed. But
this is why your computer never works.
Yeah. Also, at the time, RGB wasn't huge yet like it is now. So it was really hard to find things that were RGB.
I mean,
enabled.
Yeah, your previous case, you had to have like all this shit hooked up and stuff. And then you bought a new case that like has an RGB controller built into it, into the case. So there's just nothing to do.
Click it right in. Like I have non-addressable RGB motherboard. So it's really hard to find things as well.
Exactly.
And that was before there was addressable ones. So
I took Lauren's pre-built Asus computer with a mini ATX board and put it in that same case that you have.
Yep.
And now she has fucking lights and rainbows and stuff all over the place. And I was just like, okay, like didn't have to do a thing.
Yeah. And ever since we got these, I see them all over the place now, these cases everywhere, because it's really easy. It looks nice. The RGB is in the front. The case is really nice to use.
Yep.
I think cases are just being easier to use because a lot of people are building their own computers nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not like the small club that we used to have.
Yep. I love my case, but it's not big enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's just flat out not big enough.
Mine's pretty good.
Yeah. Yours is definitely big. Yours is much bigger than mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have like an old like Dell one or some shit, right?
No, I have a CyberPower cooler. Oh, it's a cooler master case. Yeah. I had it built at CyberPower. It's a cooler master case. It's just not. It's not huge because graphics cards weren't this big. I had a quad core AMD processor originally in it. And, you know, I actually had it water cooled, but the fan wasn't that big. Now that I have an i7 and I didn't feel like water cooling it. Why didn't I? Oh, because I was going to water cool it. But the water cooler that I had needed a separate bracket for an Intel processor.
Oh, right. And CyberPower was like, we threw that shit in the garbage.
We threw that shit in the way. So I didn't want to spend at the time like $150 something dollars on a new water cooler. So I just bought like a $40 fan that worked with it. So the fan is enormous. And now I'm like, I could buy a water cooler, but then I had to take the whole thing apart to put it on. So I'm just waiting until I eventually build a new computer and then I'll water cool that.
I might do. Yeah, I might do water cooling next because the fans do get loud after a while. Yeah. Especially since I'm not wearing really headphones anymore because I have a surround system. So you can definitely hear those fans going when like I'm in like a big meaty game. So,
yep.
And it'll look pretty.
I like water cooling stuff. Yeah, it just looks cool. Nice and sleek and quiet. And
I'm just going to do the one where the glass is a TV too. Have you seen those?
Yes.
The glass on the side is a TV. I'll just do that. Fuck it.
You should build into a fish tank.
Let me spend $4,000. No, the ones that they have, what kind of water is it? The it's like the oil shit that they fill up the computer. Mineral oil.
Yeah.
And they just fill the computer up. I'm like, this seems like a fucking hassle and a half.
I mean, it's a hassle in terms of if you ever have to do anything, you get your hands all oily. But like,
yeah. Also, like, if you have to take something out, like, you now have this like oil soaked fucking thing that you got to like dry off and shit. It just seems more of a hassle than it's worth.
Yeah. I mean, it's purely for aesthetics. Yeah. Like it's zero functionality, all aesthetic.
It's purely to go, hey, I have a mineral oil filled computer. Yeah,
look what I did.
Yeah. Look what I did. I really want one of the like the desk ones, but I also like want to be able to move my PC just in case. And that seems.
Yeah. I mean, if you need to take it somewhere or.
Yeah. Want a LAN party, yo.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, if you're looking for graphics cards, it'll probably get better soon. Probably by the end of the year it might be better. Especially if they get rid of crypto miners from buying these things. So I'm hoping. That's all for us this week. Thank you for listening. To find our social media links to previous episodes or leave us a voice message, please visit us at genfailcast.com. If you like what you've heard, please follow us on Spotify or leave a review on iTunes. Everybody say graphics cards.
Graphics cards.